Viva la vegan! Hi, I'm Lee Chantel from vivalavegan.net, and with me today is Victoria Moran. She runs the Main Street Vegan website, and she also has an academy. She's written a book also called Main Street Vegan, and we're going to talk about many, many things today. How are you, Victoria?
I'm terrific. Thank you, Lee Chantel.
And it's morning here, 8 a.m. on a Wednesday for me, and for Victoria, it's 6 p.m. in New York.
I always love talking with people in Australia because I know that the world will not end tonight. Tomorrow is already happening.
Yes.
That's what happens when you go to Catholic school.
Yes, because we're in the future here, so everything's fine.
Oh, wonderful. Good to know.
And how was your day? Did you do anything exciting?
I actually did. We took a little trip to Philadelphia, which is actually very close to New York City. I don't know why we don't go more often, but it's a wonderful city. It's very old by American standards. Very colonial. Benjamin Franklin had a lot to do there. But there's also a lot of vegan stuff going on in that area. So we had lunch at a lovely new place called Pure Sweets, which
nice.
Is very organic and very raw, but also really, really delicious. We had a fabulous brunch with some raw muesli and coconut yogurt and some not at all raw pancakes and
pancakes.
Mushroom bacon. I mean, wow. it was sensational. And we met there with Freya Dinshaw, who is the co-founder and longtime president of the American Vegan Society, and her daughter. The American Vegan Society was founded near Philadelphia in Malaga, New Jersey in 1960.
Wow.
Which it's just amazing to think that people were thinking about veganism at that time, and it's still up and running. They're online, AmericanVegan.org. So we got to meet with them, and then we had dinner at Veg, which is this fabulous, they call it a vegetable restaurant. It's a vegan restaurant that gets a lot of great reviews in terms of just being a wonderful gourmet restaurant, vegan or not. So, cool. Good trip. Came back today on the train.
That sounds like a lovely day.
It really was.
And I just received another message from someone who's just graduated from your Main Street Vegan Academy in Australia.
Ah, and who was that?
I can't remember her name, sorry.
Okay, because we've had 3 graduates now from Australia. We have 8 countries represented so far. 9 classes. It's really going to town. These people want to bring their veganism to the next level and really get out there and work with other people. Not, I don't think, so much to convert people, because people pretty much convert themselves. It's to help the people who want to do it right and stay with it.
And can you tell people who may not know about the the Main Street Academy what it's about?
Yeah, sure. I'd be happy to. When I wrote my book, Main Street Vegan, which was published in 2012, the editor and the people at the publishing house at Penguin Random House did not like the term Main Street. And I don't know how familiar you are in Australia with the idea of Main Street. I guess in England it's kind of High Street.
Yeah.
But in the States, Main Street is just salt of the earth. Main Street is your regular, everyday ma and pa. And everybody kind of wants to be Main Street. We all want to feel like we really represent this kind of American character. But they had the idea at the publisher, I guess, that it wasn't sophisticated or something, and they didn't want to use that title. So I had a miracle. I ran into Michael Moore, the filmmaker, on the street in New York City. And we
As
were talking, because he liked some of my other books, and it was very serendipitous. And I mentioned that the book that I was writing was supposed to be called Main Street Vegan, and he said, that's a perfect title. I said, you think so? I think so. They hate it. And he said, let me talk to them.
Uh-huh.
So we had this 3-way call with an Academy Award winner and my editor and me, and I got my title. So I'm telling you all this backstory.
Thanks, because Michael Moore.
Yeah, he's really quite a guy. He's off 4-footed animals, not eating any 4-footed animals, which is wonderful, and is working on the vegan thing. You know, it's just harder for some people than others, but,
Definitely.
You know, a lot of people plugging for him that he's going to get it. But anyway, what this all has to do with the Academy is after all the worry for months that I was going to have to call my book something else, when I finally got the title, my husband and I were just standing in our dining room and said, you know, so many things can come from this. There can be a Main Street Vegan podcast, which there is. There can be Main Street Vegan, and we named a lot of things that haven't happened, like muffins and makeup. How about Main Street Vegan Academy, training vegan lifestyle coaches? And that was the beginning, and it has so caught fire. Mm. And what it is a 5.5-day program live in New York City. People come here. It's very intensive. It's a little bit like going into the military, except you don't hurt anybody. But you have to get up really early, and the days are long. You have to read a lot of books before you get here. And our instructors include a cardiologist, a dietitian, Jasmine Singer and Marianne Sullivan from Our Hen House. A lot of people know that blog. J.L. Fields from J.L. Goes Vegan, a very popular blog. Fashion designers Leanne Hilgard of Vogue Couture and Joshua Katcher of The Discerning Brute. And all these people come together to help people who want to really break into veganism professionally and profoundly, to be a coach, to do public speaking, to blog, to write books. And some people have decided that they don't really want to do the coaching, but they're inspired to do other things. So one of our graduates has founded Pleasantville Creamery, a vegan ice cream company in Toronto. Nice. Another one has founded Kick Butt Boots in Dallas, Texas, vegan cowboy boots. So it's really quite the adventure.
Mm, that's great. And so what sort of things do you do? Do you get all of these different people come along and they just share some tips or how they started with their businesses or their blogs? Is that the basics?
Well, the classes are pretty set. We have our basic course and then we have electives depending on who's in town. So sometimes we have special guest speakers. Last time we had John Joseph of the Cro-Mags. They were a really popular punk band in the 80s. They still perform. And John is now this incredible athlete as well as a punk rocker. And he just added so much. He's not like a regular, but these are the kinds of people that we get. And Dr. Khan, we do have one medical doctor on our faculty regularly, Dr. Ostfeld from here in New York City. Dr. Joel Kahn happened to be in town from Detroit, and he did an amazing class on holistic health in every way. And all of our instructors, of course, are vegan. Mm-hmm. And what we try to do is lay a foundation of vegan knowledge. So we have a couple of classes on nutrition, and then we have one on health. We have Animal Rights 101. So we want everybody, between the books that they read before they get here and those basic classes, to be very well versed on what it is to live a vegan lifestyle. And then we devote a lot of time to what to do with it. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we have pastry chef Fran Costigan, who's the author of Vegan Chocolate, beautiful, beautiful book. She does a presentation on how to do a food demo. Mm. And then I actually do a juice and smoothie demo, which is very easy for somebody who's not really a chef like Fran, but who's just somebody, because people love getting to see you do stuff with food. That's and whether testing. It's on YouTube or
And testing things too, like tasting.
Exactly. So we have that. And then I don't know if you get the TV show in Australia called The Shark Tank. It's a very popular show here in America on NBC where people go to get to present their businesses to a group of millionaire and billionaire entrepreneurs who might fund their business. Anyway, our marketing teacher, Michael Parrish Studell, fabulous young vegan, who was tapped by the Shark Tank TV show to write their book, their business book. Mm-hmm. And so he teaches how to get your business off the ground. And then we have a wonderful man from the Institute for Integrative Nutrition who talks about attracting clients. So we've got a lot that is really about turning this into a business. And JL Fields is so wonderful because she gets a lot of corporate work. And so often there's this idea that we've got the vegan world and it's some kind of alternative, you know, hippie, punk rocker kind of world. And then there's the regular business world where real people live. And of course that's not true, but the myth is pretty strong. And JL has been able to get corporate work as a vegan coach and educator. So she represents a cereal company doing outreach for them. She goes into corporations doing health training, all plant-based, as they say. Mm-hmm. But she's a very committed vegan and an animal rights vegan, and they know this, and they hire her anyway because, as one of the people hiring her said, I know you wish everybody went vegan yesterday, and I also know that you won't be pushy. So it really works, and people finish the academy and go out and do amazing things.
That's really good. And if people want to find out more information, if they just check out mainstreetvegan.net.
Yes, yes, all the information is there, mainstreetvegan.net/academy, if they want to go straight to the academy page.
Mm-hmm. And tell me more about your book. What inspired you to write that originally?
Oh, thank you. Well, I've been writing for a really long time. I started writing for teen magazines when I was 14 because I wanted to meet the rock groups. And now I'm going to give away my total age and you'll think I'm ancient, but I really wanted to meet the Beatles. And I succeeded at that with my $1 press card that any little girl can get from a magazine. So I've been writing forever. And I actually wrote possibly the first book on vegan philosophy and practice ever to come from a major publisher. And it was my college thesis that I wrote in the early 80s. It was published as a book in 1985. It was called Compassion, the Ultimate Ethic. Mm-hmm. And after that, I thought, okay, I've written my book. I'll check that off the bucket list. I don't need to do that again. But I met a wonderful literary agent. Her name is Patty Brightman, and she's written some books herself. Her latest that she did with Carol J. Adams and Virginia Messina is called Never Too Late to Go Vegan. Mm-hmm. But at that time, Patty was a literary agent, and I met her, and she just literally handed me a career. Mm-hmm. So Main Street Vegan, the book that we're talking about now, is my 11th book.
Wow.
And it was really inspired. I went to a PETA fundraiser and they showed all this footage. And I've been seeing this stuff for decades. I know what we do to animals, but sometimes I think we all find our hearts are just a little bit more open than usual. And that night, all I wanted to do was just write PETA a check for $100,000, but it would have bounced. So I had to think of something else to do. And so I was in the subway, and I say to people, I'm just in the subway talking to God. And that I think that kind of worries people, but that's just how I am. So I was in the subway talking to God, not aloud. And I said, you know, I just really want to help the animals. You know, what can I do? I'm going to help the animals. And I just got this very strong idea. Well, here's what you do. You write a book, and you call it Main Street Vegan. You give it 40 little chapters and put a recipe at the end of each one because people love recipes. Mm-hmm. And gear this book to the woman that you were living in a suburb where nobody was even vegetarian and how strange it felt at that time. And I was almost taking notes in my head like, yes, yes, check, okay, I can do that. And that's literally what I did. The book has been very successful and it spawned all these other enterprises. And Michael Moore gave an endorsement, which was really fun. And then, this is also cool, Bill Clinton read it and wrote me a letter. So that it's...
That's lovely.
It's very lovely. I'm very grateful and so happy that people relate to it.
And just sometimes when you ask the universe for help too and just to guide you to the next step, you always get a good response, don't you, if you're willing to do it?
I think you've really hit the nail on the head. If you're willing to do it, and also if you're open to whatever the universe is going to suggest, because at the time when I was in that train, I had another book proposal finished, and I'd spent a lot of time on it. And if I had been tied to that, you know, okay, well, that'll be a nice idea for someday, but I need to sell this book first because I've done all this work. But it was very clear. It was like, no. Wow. You set that aside and you do Main Street Vegan, and it was the best thing I ever did.
Good for you. And you were saying before, you've been vegan for quite a while, a few decades.
Do you want to... I've been vegan 30 years. It'll be 31 in November.
Why did you originally become vegan?
Well, I went vegetarian earlier. It took me a while to get to be vegan. From the time I heard the word vegetarian when I was 5 years old, I came home from first grade, and they had taught us about the four food groups. Mm-hmm. And I told my, I call her my grandmother. She was actually a nanny. She was hired to live with us and take care of me because they didn't have daycare at that time. Mm-hmm. And I told her the four food groups, and she said, well, there are some people who never eat any meat, mm-hmm. and they are called vegetarians. And I can take you out to eat at the Unity Inn and get you a hamburger made out of peanuts, and you would think you were eating beef. And I remember thinking, there's so much I don't know, and I have this sneaky feeling I'm not going to learn it in school and from the other conventional channels. Well, the place that she mentioned, the Unity Inn, it's so interesting how things go around and come around. That's the cafeteria of the headquarters of the Unity Churches, who now sponsor my radio show, Main Street Vegan. So it's just wild. But when she first said that, I knew it struck a chord with me, but I also didn't know how you could survive without meat. So I tried at 13 to go vegetarian, and I lasted about 3 months. But then when I was 18, I was living in London and going to fashion school, and I'd gotten into yoga, and it was easy to go vegetarian in London. But vegan just seemed so far out there. Plus, I was a practicing binge eater, and I would periodically go off and just eat like there was no tomorrow. And there was no way I was going to stand at the convenience store and read all those labels to see what was vegan. It was just like, it's possible to be a binge eater today and be vegan, I guess, if you've got a good health food store nearby. At that time, it was almost impossible. So I really had to take care of my inner emptiness and get over the eating for a fix. Yeah. And once I did that, I was able to make a choice about food, and my choice was vegan. And that was 30 years ago, and I've never looked back.
And so much has changed, hasn't it, since
then? Oh, it's fantastic.
I've been vegan for, next year it'll be 17 or 18 years. So there's been quite a change just in the time I've been vegan. So I'm sure there's been a lot more that you've noticed.
Well, you know, I think we've probably noticed about the same. Because in those years between 30 years ago and 17 years ago, almost nothing happened. It was just, you know, almost nothing happened. But I would say in the past maybe 6 years, 6 or 7 years, it's just gone crazy.
Definitely.
Which is so wonderful. It's just so much easier.
Yeah, there's so many more options, isn't there? Like, I remember I was saying to someone the other day, and I don't think they really grasped how hard it was to find stuff. Like, you had maybe one soy milk option, and you would get maybe dark chocolate in the health food store every now and then, and that was about it. And now you can go to any, even in Brisbane here in Australia, there's so many vegan places, and they all have vegan desserts, which may or may not be a good thing. There's just so many options now.
Yeah, I think it is a good thing. I know that those of us who have an interest in health as well as an interest in ethics and the environment have to watch it a little bit more now. I mean, it used to be when people went vegan back in, say, the 1980s or certainly earlier, they got really healthy because there were just no other options. And now we have to be a bit more discerning. But I'm also thrilled that all these foods exist, because people used to say, oh, I could never go vegan because I have to have pizza, or I could never go vegan because I have to have ice cream. And now we can say, surprise, you don't have to give up anything. And I think once you get the ethical part, there's no giving up anyway. Yeah, it gives you up.
That's right. That's a good way to put it. And tell me about your vegan daughter.
Oh, thank you. One of my favorite subjects. Well, her name is Adair. She was actually born Rachel Adair, but she's been using her middle name for many years. And when I was pregnant with her, I was still lacto-ovo vegetarian, hadn't been able to give that stuff up yet. But it was when she was a tiny baby and she hadn't had any food yet except mother's milk that I went vegan. So she's really been vegan her whole life. And it was a very adventurous undertaking. It was a little difficult then.
How old is she?
She's 30.
Yeah.
And at that time, you know, there was a lot that wasn't available. We still did okay. But what I see now is what an amazing, rich childhood she had then. And I'm seeing it now with kids who are growing up vegan. Mm-hmm. I remember in my daughter's case, once I was speaking for some kind of veg event in some city, I can't remember where. And she never liked shoes or socks very much. I think a past life regression person once told me that she had lived in China and she'd had her feet bound. So I don't know what the reason was, but anyway, she didn't like shoes and socks. And she was just crying because she didn't want to put shoes and socks on. And John Robbins knocked on our door because he was also speaking at the same conference, John Robbins, author of Diet for a New America and a lot of other books. And he sat down on the floor with her and listened to her talk to him about shoes and socks. And another time, I was speaking and we were in St. Louis and we got to go to a press conference of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. And she got to meet the Dalai Lama and she was 8 years old. So she really had an amazing childhood in a lot of ways. And now she's grown up. She's been married for several years. She trained as an actor and she does some of that. She also writes plays. Mm-hmm. She's a professional stunt performer.
Wow.
And does a lot of TV work here in New York City, a little movie work. And her fun thing that's coming up now, it's another American TV show called Gotham. And she got to be a stunt double for Batman as a child because she's kind of small. And so she was so cute. She sends out her newsletter and she said, I always wanted to be Batman. So she does the stunt performing, which proves that vegans are not wimpy. And then the coolest thing that is on her horizon right now is that she is a New York State licensed wildlife rehabilitator.
Wow.
And she and two of her colleagues have started the first wild mammal rehabilitation center in New York City. Now, it's not a center yet because they don't have the money yet for bricks and mortar, but they're already rehabbing wild mammals. And people say, do you have wild mammals in New York City? Like, yes, we do. We have squirrels and possums and bunnies. And so they've started this nonprofit, and it's a great big huge undertaking, but they don't seem to think anything is impossible. And it's very sweet. Her husband is a vegetarian, has never gone vegan, and they just work that out. They're vegan at home, and she has two dogs, and they were vegan. And then when she got married, her husband said he wanted them to have a free-range egg every day. Mm-hmm. And so, okay, so, you know, we make these compromises. Sometimes I think people think we're all just so stodgy that we can't allow anybody else to be themselves.
Yeah.
But I see, particularly in the people who have been vegan forever, they don't really have anything to prove. They just shine their light and other people come around.
That's all you can do, isn't it?
Yeah.
And you have to think about compromise as well if you're, like, especially if you're in a relationship with someone, like, just because you're vegan doesn't mean that they agree with that 100%, or they can meet you halfway, you can meet them halfway.
Right. And it's interesting. I know some people would say, oh, that's terrible, you know, that he's not vegan or the dogs aren't vegan or something like that. And yet, if he had gone on, you know, if they had broken up or whatever when they were dating and he'd married somebody else, he'd be eating meat now.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's just very nice for us to be in the world, and some people will come all the way and some people will come part way. And everybody sees what we're doing. I had the most gratifying thing that my mother said shortly before she died in her 80s. She said, "We used to think you were crazy doing that yoga and eating those beans, but now people's doctors tell them to do that." And that was really her saying that she could never do it, but she knew it was a good thing.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, a lot of people need that mainstream okay. Like, oh, yeah, my doctor said that. Or, yeah, my friend's vegan and they're not dead, so it must work, you know.
That would be a great tweet. My friend's vegan and they're not dead.
You can use it. You can have that one, Victoria. And talking, you have a podcast also called Main Street Vegan, and you've interviewed me on there before, which was great. So can you tell me anything about the podcast? Why did you decide to do the podcast? What came first, the book, the podcast?
The book came first, and the idea for the academy, but the academy hadn't quite started. And the people from the internet radio station, from Unity Online Radio, contacted me. Mm-hmm. As I mentioned, that Unity Church, it's a liberal sort of Christian denomination, but the people who founded it back in the 1800s had been introduced to yoga and vegetarianism, and they were very staunch vegetarians. They had a vegetarian column in their weekly publication back in that day. One of their sons was vice president of the International Vegetarian Union for 4 years. So it was a really big part of Unity in the early days. But then those people all passed away and others came after them, and it kind of got moved to the side. So the woman who was at that time running Unity Online Radio was herself a vegan, and she had read the book, and she contacted me and said, "Do you want to do a radio show? You can call it Main Street Vegan. It's about time we got back to our roots."
Oh, great.
So it's been very successful and a lot of fun. We do it every week live, and then it's a podcast on iTunes and Stitcher and everywhere else. Mm-hmm. And we've had amazing people on, including you. Dr. Neil Barnard was very popular. Dr. Joel Furman. We're going to have in November, we just did a pre-tape at Russell Simmons, which is exciting. And it's just so interesting to have both the people, and I'm sure you find this too, the people that everybody has heard of, they're great, and a lot of people want to listen to them. But then sometimes you find these people who are completely esoteric, and nobody has heard of them, but they're so interesting.
Yes.
So I find both ways really fun.
Definitely. I find a lot of really good feedback from people, like the just average sort of people that aren't even out there online or anything, and they just share their stories. And I think a lot of vegans just love to hear other people sharing their stories, and they're like, "Oh, yeah, I think the same way," or "That's the same thing that happened to me." So, yeah, I love doing podcasts. They're fun.
Yeah, that whole thing about stories, I mean, we've often hear that we're a storytelling species.
Yeah.
And in my next book, which will be out in the spring of 2015, it's called The Good Karma Diet.
Great title. I include stories.
Thank you. Of 17 different vegans who just volunteered. I just put it out on Facebook. And the stories are just so beautiful. Mm. Two of them are cancer survivors, and neither one is one of these magical, you know, "I went vegan and my cancer went away." You know, they both had standard treatment and all, but they really believe that being vegan has supported the maintenance of their recovery. Mm. One of the guys that I really love his story, his name is Bonebreaker Barbell. He lives in Austin, Texas, and he was at one time 572 pounds, a drug addict, and an alcoholic.
Wow.
And he met this woman who was vegan, and she introduced him to the ethical aspects, which he really believed in. And sometime after that, he realized that if he kind of cleaned up his vegan act, he could lose weight and get a lot fitter. And now he's an athlete and a wrestling coach and an all-around amazing guy. So his story is very powerful. And it's just so true, because whether you've lived anything like that or not, like most people have not been an alcoholic and a drug addict, but when you think, gosh, if even coming from something that difficult, if changing your diet, changing your outlook and starting to work out can take care of it, how remarkable.
Yeah. And then it makes it, oh, well, he could do it with all of those challenges he had. So we could do it. It'd be easier for everyone else.
Absolutely.
And how long do you normally speak with your podcast? Do you do that weekly?
Yeah, it's because it's through a regular station, it's 55 minutes with two breaks, and that's kind of etched in granite.
Mm-hmm.
So that's every week, and I always listen to them later myself just to make myself a better interviewer, and that it's made walking the dog a lot more interesting to listen, not just to my own podcast, but all the wonderful vegan podcasts. I was talking for a group for its conference here called The Seed last week. I was supposed to be talking about aging well and being fit and healthy and all that. And I said, if it seems to you like 45 minutes on a treadmill is really, really difficult, I have one word for you, podcast. Because when you're listening, it just makes it go so fast.
That's true. Definitely. And what topics do you like to interview people about on the podcast?
I always ask them, what are you passionate about right now? Because a lot of times people are famous for something that they did a long time ago, or they wrote a book and it's a perfectly good book, but they wrote it 5 years ago and now they're onto something else. And they just love it, because generally people, it's like, okay, you know, you're the guy that did this, we're going to talk about this, but he's done all these other things in the interim. So I find that most of the shows come down to either health or animal issues or environmental issues. Or the vegan athletes are fascinating when they talk about their extreme fitness. And every now and then I have somebody who's really different. Like last week, a woman stopped in. I have a 10-minute segment in the beginning. And sometimes I just riff about whatever. But very often I have what I call an appetizer guest, somebody with something new who just comes on for those 10 minutes. So a lovely woman named Carol Treacy came on talking about her book, Vegan Cowboy, which is a novel. It's kind of a romance novel about a woman who meets, you know, a guy who has that kind of really sexy cowboy persona, but he's vegan, which I think a lot of women fantasize about. And I once had on a vegan animal communicator, like an animal psychic. And, you know, I don't know that anybody can prove that animal psychics are truly animal psychics, but she was the first one I'd ever met who was vegan.
Wow.
So it's fun.
Yeah, one of my friends is an animal communicator, she calls it, and a lot of people think she's mad. Yeah.
Well, I don't know sometimes if they think the madness comes from the fact that it's not possible to communicate via thought, that there's just no way to know things other than what we can really put our fingers on, or if they think it's mad because it's animals. But I remember I was dating this guy before I met my husband. We've been together 16 years. But before that, I dated this man for a while who had race horses. And one of the horses refused to be bred. And so he contacted this animal communicator. No, she wasn't an animal communicator. That's it. She was a human psychic. And so he said, could you talk to these horses? And she said, I don't think so, but, you know, I'll try. And so she did what she does with humans, or what she did at that time with humans. And she came back to him and said, now, this may be totally nuts, but what I think she told me was she's not averse to breeding, but she doesn't like these studs you've put her with. She's actually in love with this other horse, George, or somebody, put her with him and, you know, she'll give birth. And that was exactly what happened.
Wow.
Of course, after that, my former beau became vegan and realized that he should not be dealing with racehorses. So he moved on from that thing. But that was really my first introduction to animal communication. Yeah, it was pretty impressive.
Yeah, definitely. And the horses are in love with each other too. That's nice.
Isn't that sweet? Yeah.
Definitely. And so you've got quite a few things coming up next year as well, other than your Good Karma Diet book that you're releasing. You've also got a cruise happening.
Well, actually the cruise is not happening.
Oh,
I'm sorry to say that needed to fill up so early and we just weren't able to do that. So no cruise, but 5 Main Street Vegan Academy programs in 2015, the new book, as you say, lots of traveling and speaking. We're also working on a film project, which we believe will be shooting by 2015, and that's called Miss Liberty. Miss Liberty is the story of a cow who escapes from a slaughterhouse. It's not a children's film, and it's not animated, but it is a family film, so you could take children, and they would enjoy it, but it's really very sophisticated. Adults would enjoy it, too, and I can talk it up and say how fabulous it is, because it's really my husband's writing. He's a great writer. He's written The Complete Idiot's Guide to Playing the Harmonica and some other things, but mostly he writes people's talking. He writes dialogue, and he's so great at it. And I've worked on it for several years as well. So where that stands now is that we have Mary Lou Henner signed on to play the lead, the human lead. Mary Lou Henner, for people who have been around a while, know that she was on this classic 1970s TV show called Taxi.
Okay.
And she's been a working actor all this time. And a longtime vegan. Now, her husband, interestingly enough, was one of those people who had cancer who really was cured just from diet and lifestyle. And she has written a book about that. She's written several other books. We're also working with Gene Bauer of Farm Sanctuary. He's our co-executive producer. And we're about to do our first Indiegogo. That hasn't started yet, but it will be to get started. We want to hopefully get an all-vegan cast, which
that
I think
would be lovely.
Pretty stunning. So, yeah, lots going on. Never a dull moment in vegan land.
No, definitely not. That's great. Good to see that you're on top of all these different things and spreading the word in via many different channels and many different ways. So great to see, Victoria.
Oh, thank you. Well, I think we have to use every channel available, and probably the reason, or a big reason, that we're seeing so much happening now is with the internet. Everybody has a platform.
Yes.
You know, you're no longer just somebody sitting somewhere who doesn't know another vegan. You know, you can get online and become a force for good. It's really cool.
Definitely. That's very true. Well, thank you so much for taking the time out on your evening to speak to us today at Viva La Vegan. And make sure, if you want to find out more about Victoria and her work and what's planned for next, check out mainstreetvegan.net.
Thank you so much. You're such a delightful interviewer and a great force for a better planet.
Thank you, Victoria. Right back at you. And everyone can see vivalavegan.net for more interviews with inspiring vegans. Thank you.